something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. The Internet's leading provider of spoken word entertainment. Get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/stuff today for details.
Hey there, welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. Chuck is with me as always.
Present.
Couldn't live without him.
Oh.
You put the two of us together, you get a lumpy little podcast called Stuff You Should Know, right, Chuck?
Yeah.
And that's what you guys are listening to now, and if you are listening to this on its original publishing date, you should be nervous, because that means that tomorrow is Friday the 13th.
Indeed.
And before we really get started, Chuck, I think we should give a proper shout-out to two of our listeners, Cameron Clark and Pari Gabriel.
Right. This is actually a listener suggestion.
Yes. This is our second one. The first one was Body Armor.
Yes.
Yeah. And both Cameron and Pari independently suggested that we do a podcast on Friday the 13th.
Right.
And we haven't gotten to the bottom of whether or not they were separated at birth or anything like that. But
it's a swell idea.
It is. It is. So here we are, right?
The day before.
So, Chuck, I'm a terribly superstitious person. I can't really say that I'm not. But I know people who aren't that still kind of take a little extra measure of caution when Friday the 13th rolls around, right? Are you like that?
No, I'm not really that superstitious, and I don't really think about Friday the 13th.
It's not even on your mind?
No, I mean, I realize it if I look at the calendar, but I don't think two things about it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Not one thing.
I am of less intellect than you.
No, you're just more superstitious.
That's the same thing. So, Chuck, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's actually a phobia. There's the genuine phobia. I don't consider myself having a phobia, but there is a phobia on the books.
And this is all you, buddy.
It is all me. And that word, that phobia, is paraskevidekatriophobia.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
Very hard. It looks like the alphabet when I look at the word.
It is. It looks like the Cyrillic alphabet almost, right? Yeah. It's like all consonants. But that is the actual fear of Friday the 13th. And people actually do suffer from this phobia.
True.
One of the weird things about it is this particular phobia, paraskevidekatriophobia, is a cultural, completely cultural construct.
Right. It's Western.
Very much so. Yes.
To begin with.
Yeah. So let's get into this. Why do people hate 13? First of all, have you noticed in our building, there's no 13th floor marked on the elevator?
Right. Even though there is a 13th floor, it is marked 14.
Right. Okay. But yes, it's still a 13th floor. You can call it whatever you want.
True. I call it 13.
Yeah. You can put lipstick on a hockey mom and, you know, still a pit bull.
Right.
So, and it's not just floors and buildings.
No.
Hotels often don't have a room 13.
Right. Planes don't have the 13th row.
Mm-hmm. That's just weird, right?
It's weird. It's unusual to me that it's plays such a role in our culture that they actually go out of their way to do this.
Yeah. And let me give you one more.
Okay.
Little League Baseball.
Yeah.
When I wore the number 13, 0.00 batting average for the season, hit in the head twice. Well, so it's entirely possible that 13 isn't a very good number, right. Possibly an untoward number.
Right. It's possible that you stink at baseball, too.
That's actually much more likely. But, okay, so anyway, this is old, and like you said, it's rooted in Western culture. And actually, the fear of Friday the 13th is the convergence, actually, of two superstitions.
Yeah, 13 and Friday.
Yeah, we haven't liked either of those things for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just... This Western conception of Friday the 13th being a nervous date is actually rooted in Norse mythology,
right,
and Christianity.
Uh-huh.
And they seem very separate, but they actually came together and one played off of the other to develop this current fear we have. So you want to take it?
Well, I can tell you a little bit about the Norse aspect of it. In Norse mythology, there was a hero called Baldur. And Baldur was killed at a banquet by another god, Loki, L-O-K-I.
Did you ever read Marvel's Thor comics?
Oh, yeah.
Loki was always the bad guy.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Baldur was killed by Loki, who basically crashed Baldur's party. It was a dinner party of 12, and he was the 13th guest.
Mm-hmm.
So that story, when you tie into Christianity, the Last Supper, Judas, who betrayed Christ, was the 13th guest.
Yeah.
So one of the common fears is, or common things is, never go to a dinner party of 13.
Yeah, it just seems like a good rule of thumb after,
yeah,
you know, those two very monumental experiences in history.
Right.
Under those circumstances. Okay, so you said that that kind of ties in this Last Supper and then this banquet in the Christian religion and Norse mythology, right?
Yes.
And there's actually a kind of a school of thought out there, and it basically says that Judaism, Christianity, and pretty much everything that came after that is rooted in ancient Egyptian religion.
Okay.
Did you know this?
I did not. You're schooling me.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So there's this guy named Tom Harper. He's an historian, and he compiled a book in 2004 called Pagan Christ.
Uh-huh.
And you can make an argument that it gets a little too granular, like he's proved his point too much, and perhaps he's being led to see what he wants to see.
Right.
But basically what he argues is that Christianity and Judaism just basically took popular beliefs that had been around for centuries,
mm-hmm,
thanks to the Chemites, the ancient Egyptians.
Okay.
Specifically, between Christianity and the ancient Egyptian mythology, Horus, who's like the main guy, right?
Which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
In listener mail.
Horus and Jesus Christ bear a very striking resemblance.
Uh-huh.
Just some of the details. First of all, their embodiment. They're like the savior of mankind.
Right.
Under each religion. But then there's details too, like both were born in stables.
Okay.
Both births were heralded by stars. Both had the ability to raise the dead.
Right.
The births of both of them were witnessed by shepherds. It just kind of goes on and on.
I didn't know that.
He finds a couple hundred comparisons.
Really?
And as you look at it, some you're like, yeah, you know, that's kind of a stretch. But some you're like, these are really close,
uh-huh,
right? And it's not like the ancient Egyptians were without contact with anybody.
Right.
The Greeks learned most of what they knew about mathematics and astronomy and all that from the Egyptians.
Sure.
So all these people were interacting. It's entirely possible. Well, the thing is Harper doesn't necessarily manage to prove anything. He illuminates a bunch of stuff, which I think,
right,
was his intention.
Mm-hmm.
But it does undermine this competition that it seems like the early Christian church had with everybody else.
Right.
Right? If you look, one of the parallels between Horus and Christ, their births were celebrated around the same time.
Right.
People point out that things like the choice of when Christmas lies on,
uh-huh,
or when Easter lies on, these were kind of placed around the time of pagan holidays to compete with them.
Interesting.
So people would have to choose. They couldn't go, well, I'm going to be pagan on this date, and then, you know, a month down the road, I get to have Christmas too.
Right.
That's not good, right?
No.
So,
no.
If you're going to try to get everybody to your flock. And one of the pagan groups that were heavily targeted by the early church were the Norse.
Right.
And what there's an idea that 13, they already didn't like 13.
Sure.
But the Norse were also very, they venerated women, and the early church was not big into women having power of any kind.
Yeah, that's true.
So Frigga, who is actually Baldur, the hero Baldur's mother, she used to show up at witch covens. So there'd be 12 witches, and she'd be the 13th.
Right.
Under Christian cosmology, anytime you've got 12 witches, the 13th one's going to be the devil.
Exactly.
So they were all these. This competition created all of this accepted ideas in one culture were, you know, horrible and bad and under Christianity. It was competition.
Right. That's good stuff.
Thanks a lot.
I'm impressed.
Okay, so
Friday, the day Friday, actually, in Christianity is also unlucky, considered to be unlucky.
Yes, you want to take that?
Sure. Supposedly, Christ was crucified on a Friday. Not say supposedly, that's what they say.
Right.
And some theologians, say that Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another bad mark against it.
Yeah, really?
The Great Flood began on a Friday
yep.
when Noah built the ark and yep. flooded the earth. Noah didn't flood the earth. He built the ark. And a lot of Christians in the past would not begin any new project or trip on a Friday because they thought it would be doomed.
Yeah.
So you take that Friday and you take the 13 and you marry them. And a lot of people think that that's why Friday the 13th came about is badness.
Yeah. So is that the case? I mean, is that true? Is there badness to it?
Well, it depends on who you ask. There have been studies here and there. There was one in 1993. The British Medical Journal published one. I love this title. Is Friday the 13th bad for your health?
Yeah,
which
I saw that,
stuff.
Yeah.
And they compared a ratio of traffic volume to the number of automobile accidents on Friday the 6th and Friday the 13th over a period of several years. And what they found out was consistently fewer people chose to drive on Friday the 13th, but the number of hospital admissions due to car accidents went up compared to a normal Friday.
Did they conclude that it was possibly because people were a little more on edge on Friday the 13th or what?
I think that was one of the conclusions, yeah.
Yeah.
Which sort of makes sense.
But that is strange that there is an increase. On Friday the 13th.
Right, which goes back to the thing that you were talking about with Harper. Perhaps when you're looking for something, you're bound to find it. I remember, did you see the movie Pi?
Yes.
Darren Aronofsky's first film?
Drill to the head.
Yeah, whew, that was tough. They raised a similar thing, you know, when the old guy kind of assaulted the dude and said, you know, if you look for any number, you're going to find it. If the number in your head is 24, you're going to find 24 steps to your apartment, 24... times that you used a whisk to beat the eggs, that kind of thing.
Right.
So perhaps that plays a part as well.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Yeah, there's a psychological bias, I guess.
Right.
You're preparing yourself. You're looking harder than usual, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Well, you know, if you went to Italy on Friday the 13th, you would probably find very few people who were particularly moved by it.
True.
In Italy, actually, the unlucky number is 17.
Yep.
because under Roman numerals, it would be, XVII.
Mm-hmm.
And if you rearrange them to VIXI, that is he lived, and it's past tense, and you often find that on gravestones. 17 is an unlucky number.
True, good stuff.
Try scaring somebody around here with 17. It's not going to happen. They'll just blink at you a little bit and
exactly.
walk away. Yeah.
I've got another couple of examples of 13 being a good thing. In Judaism, 13 is the age at which a boy matures into a man, and you have your bar mitzvah. So that's good. Colgate University. Did you know this one?
No.
I didn't share this one with you. Mm-mm. They are a liberal arts college in New York State, and they love the number 13. The tradition there, they said Colgate was founded by 13 men with $13 and 13 prayers and 13 articles. And the university is actually at 13 Oak Drive. So every Friday the 13th, they throw a big party, basically, and really embrace it and wear the school colors and that kind of thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they're going to have one tomorrow then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go Colgate.
Yeah. If someone's at Colgate University right now listening to this and they're swilling some keg beer to Friday the 13th, I think that'd be pretty cool.
I think so too. So you know in Japan and China what the unlucky number is?
Isn't it four?
It is four.
I knew that.
Because apparently in both languages, and I was surprised to hear this, in both languages the pronunciation of the number four is very, very much similar to the pronunciation for the word death. So you may not find a four on like a menu in a Chinese restaurant or something like that.
Right.
I'm going to keep an eye out actually in the future. See if there's a four.
That's good. Like the number four meal on a Chinese menu? That
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Happy Family.
Maybe so.
I got a few more 13s for
okay.
you, if you're patient.
I am.
In the world of sports, there have been some very famous, awesome athletes that wore the number 13. So you would think it would not be unlucky. Dan Marino, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play.
Yeah.
But one of the best quarterbacks to ever play and not win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it makes you wonder how much better he would have been had he not worn 13.
Right.
I mean, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Sure. Alex Rodriguez, a famous baseball player right now for the New York Yankees.
He could be a superstar.
He is a superstar, and he wears the number 13, but the Yankees have not been to a World Series since he joined their roster.
That is interesting.
In 2004, even though they have the powerhouse all-star lineup. So maybe that's unlucky. And Wilt Chamberlain is 13, but he won all kinds of things. So,
yeah,
I'd say that is lucky in that case.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard people say the number 13 is a lucky number, but that's not my experience. I'm among A-Rod and Dan
right.
Marino as just a failed sports figure
right.
who bore the number 13.
So. Well, I don't know if I could call them failed sports figures. He has a batting average very much higher than 0.0.
Agreed.
Friday the 13th films. I'm sure you've seen some of these.
Sure.
There have been 12, including the one.
No, there haven't.
Yes.
They've made 12 of those?
Well, there were 11 original films, including the Freddy versus Jason thing.
Yeah.
That was pretty much terrible.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, actually, is the release of the remake of the original.
Yes.
And that makes the fourth one in the series to be released on Friday the 13th.
Wow.
So it's good marketing.
So this is 12.
This is the number, the 12th one.
Surely they're going to make it to 13, right?
Well, they're probably going to start remaking them all, I would say, if this is successful.
Okay.
And this year there are three Friday the 13ths, actually, which is kind of unusual. And 2 months in a row, February and March,
mm-hmm.
Which is very unusual.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff.
I agree.
And I got one more for you.
Okay.
The band Black Sabbath.
I love Sabbath.
Yeah, we both do. They released their debut album on February 13th, Friday, February 13th, 1970.
That seems like something they would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy they've been around since 70?
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy that Ozzy can still walk?
Barely.
Yeah. Well, that's funny that you bring up the calendar, Chuck, because I've got one last little snippet.
Okay.
One of the reasons why Friday the 13th is a problem is because we moved to a solar calendar under Pope Gregory. The 5th, I think?
Yeah, Greg.
Okay, so he commanded that we move to a solar calendar from a lunar calendar. Again, paganism.
Right.
Because in the pagan culture, in the pagan calendar, there are actually 13 months based on the lunar cycle, which is connected to the menstrual cycle, which, again, got to get away from women. There you have it.
I'm not going to go there.
So this Friday the 13th in February, Friday the 13th in March?
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't have happened had we stayed with the original pagan lunar calendar.
Interesting.
Yes. Well, love you. Thanks.
These are all nice little tidbits. This was full of water cooler type of.
That's because there's absolutely nothing to Friday the 13th.
Well, that's one of the main points, though, is even though there's all these ancient things that it's rooted in, the modern fear of Friday the 13th, evidently, most people don't even know these ancient things. So it's pretty much just one of those things that's been created.
Yeah. For our enjoyment.
Yep, nothing to it, folks.
Basically, just
don't worry.
One way to make it through the day on a Friday.
Absolutely.
A little more on guard than ever, so. There you go. Well, you guys be safe, just in case, this Friday the 13th, the next Friday the 13th, and all Friday the 13th. We want you around to listen to our sweet voices for as long as possible.
So don't leave your home.
All right. Well, Chuck, do you have any listener mail?
I do, but I believe we have our sponsor needs to chime in first.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. You want to?
Yeah.
Well, let's kick it off.
Audible.com?
Yes. Actually, well, if everybody goes to audiblepodcast.com/stuff, they can sign up, they can register, and they'll immediately be eligible for one free download.
Right, which is a book on tape or a...
Everything.
Sure.
Anything you can conceive of that you could make into audio, they've got it, right? There's like 50,000 titles.
Lots of titles.
And I went online, I was browsing, and they have my favorite detective novel of all time, Dashiell Hammett's Maltese Falcon.
Oh, really?
And they have it in several different forms. They have a dramatized form and a couple of different ones, but they have like the straight... You know, novel read aloud, which I'm actually looking forward to getting.
Who reads it? Do you know?
I do, and I don't remember his name, but it's no one I'd heard of.
Okay. Well, I'm going to recommend, and you're going to say, you hippie. I'm going to recommend Jack Kerouac's On the Road.
You hippie.
It's, you know, the classic Beat Generation novel, and I'm going to recommend it because it's read by David Carradine.
Awesome.
Kane of Kung Fu himself reads it.
And Bill from Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's my recommendation.
Yeah, you can find both of those, and like we said, 49,998 more, at least, by going to audiblepodcast.com/stuff and registering to get your free one. So now is it listener mail time?
Now is listener mail
time. I think I've been made to wait long enough.
Yes.
So, Chuck, what do you have for us?
Josh, I have listener mail that we're going to call the Horace Firestorm of 09. We got a lot of emails about you messing up the fact that I believe you said...
I said Horus was the god. He was the one with the dog's head.
Right.
I didn't even have the right animal right.
Okay? Ancient Egypt we're talking about.
It turns out what I should have said was Horus has the head of a jackal if I were even going to be in the right ballpark.
Right.
But that's Anubis.
Yes.
Anubis, one of the two, actually has the head of a jackal as the ancient Egyptian god with the head of a jackal.
Yes.
Horus, and I'm sorry, everybody, it turns out... Horus is the one with the head of a cat. So I apologize to everybody who...
No. Horus had the head of a falcon.
What?
I will not let you mislead our listeners anymore. And thank you to all these people who wrote in, including Satyarth Mishra from India, age 13. Mm-hmm. Jessica Sastra of Jacksonville, Florida. Logan Larson, studying in France. Catherine Lee, Thomas Radke. Chris Albrecht of KU Jayhawks.
Go Jayhawks.
Eric S. of Philadelphia. Jeremy Sheehan. Alex Clifford of Livermore, California. Rick, R-I-C. Mm-hmm. Nothing more.
Right.
Tommy Schiano of The Mafia. Jason Barnhart. Andrew Smith of Jerusalem. And then my favorite, Rachel Austin in Boulder, sent this correction in the form of a haiku, which we love. It is Anubis, Jackal. Horus, Sun, Moon, Eye, Falcon. Egypt, next podcast.
Nice.
So thank you, Rachel, for being so creative with that.
Thanks to all of you. Ever since the first email trickled in, I've been wearing my hair shirt, so I think I can take it off now. What do you think, Chuck?
You've been punched.
It is so itchy.
Horus is not a cat.
Well, if you want to send us a podcast about ancient Egyptian gods or anything that strikes your fancy, you can send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
Yeah.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.